This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Finally got the new one up.
That's right. Welcome into Zulak and Bertrand live from Gillette Stadium on a Tuesday. Hi, Zul.
How you doing?
What's up?
It's going to be a long week.
Why do you say that?
Because started watching football Thursday night, right? We got in Friday, kind of enjoyed the weekend. We had a long day Sunday. Yesterday we got to work, and just everything's crunched today for me from TV and radio and everything, and it's not even Wednesday yet. Still got, 5 days to talk about this game, and how's AB going to fit in? We got to start with AB, right?
Yeah, start with AB.
Yeah.
Let's start with this. This was this morning on Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe was on for his weekly segment with TNR, and he called in, and he's got an opinion that I think he shares with plenty of people that are twisting themselves into a pretzel this week, Zoe. I think it's pretzel twisting madness.
Why are you going to twist yourself?
I think you're that's in what's or going
out.
On.
Say the balls. Keep the, if you're out, have the balls to say you're out.
It's the idea that this is a no-risk proposition for the Patriots, that there's no risk in doing this.
How's that no risk if you just gave a guy $9 million?
Well, have a listen. Here's the question and answer. You'll hear Fred Toucher, of course, on TNR, and you'll hear an answer from Jeff Howe of The Athletic. This was at about 7:30 this morning right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Would you have made this deal? Because you see them on Sunday night, and, I mean, it was likely they were going to win the AFC anyway. How much, when you factor in how much does Brown make them better, you factor in his incentives for trying because he's got the $10 million guaranteed. Would you have made that deal?
I couldn't control a guy like Antonio Brown. Like, that's, I wouldn't be able to do that. Bill Belichick can. And this is like, it's almost a no-loss type of situation for Belichick, because if everything works out, then Belichick and Brown look like geniuses. You know, we mentioned the long con, potentially, from Brown's perspective. I mean, Belichick doesn't have to give up a draft pick, only gives him $10 million guaranteed. If he reaches any of those incentives, that means he had a monster year. So Belichick would look like a genius. If everything goes off the rails, whether it's quickly or over the course of the season, I mean, shoot, look what happened last year when they started relying on Josh Gordon, and then they lost him. And then the team went on a 5-game winning streak and won the Super Bowl shortly thereafter. I mean, if things go off the rails with Antonio Brown, Bill Belichick can say, you're gone. And then he can look at the rest of the locker room on that next day's meeting and say, you know what? He didn't conform. He wasn't a Patriot. You guys who are still here are Patriots. You did the right thing. That's why you are here. That's why he's not. It doesn't matter how talented you are. You're not going to stick around. And Bill Belichick has done that over the course of his 2 decades as Patriots head coach. And the team will buy in, and then they'll move on like they have, again, with a lot more high-profile names who have been shipped out in the past, guys who have had more decorated service tenures as Patriots. And so, again, if it comes to that, then Bill Belichick has a $10 million teaching tool that he sends to the locker room. So, again, that's why I'm saying it's almost like a no-lose situation if you're a guy who has as much power and authority as someone like Bill Belichick.
$10 million teaching tool.
Is that what overhead projectors cost?
That's a pricey teaching tool, my friends. $10 million bucks. That's a very expensive teaching tool, if that's what this ends up being. I would say that's a risky, costly teaching tool for a team that I don't think needs any teaching, by the way, because this is pretty much the team that won the Super Bowl 8 months ago, 7 months ago. Do they need teaching?
No, I mean, they got the top
three. I'm sorry. Does this group of guys need teaching? I don't think they need teaching.
I think they need help.
That's just my opinion.
I think they need help on offense.
Okay. Do they need teaching? Do they need to know how to act? I don't think this group does.
No.
The guy who needs to learn how to act, the guy who needs teaching, is the guy you're bringing into the room, not the guys who are in the room. There's no teaching needed for the guys who are in the room. You don't need the $10 million teaching tool for the guys who are here. From what I could tell, the guys who are here get it. They get it just fine. They get it. They've got it figured out. They're a good team and a good group. Good character football-wise. They seem to get it. They don't need the teaching. They'll be fine without their teaching.
The guy who needs the teaching is the guy coming in. That could be what he's talking about, too.
Oh, yeah, great. Here's $10 million. I hope you learned your lesson. Goodbye. Get out. You get to leave with $10 million in your pocket? That's not a lesson. There's no lesson to be learned there. I just reject the idea that there's no risk here, that there's no risk for the Patriots. And also, if you're using, and this is, I hate to sound like I'm slamming Jeff for this, because I've heard this take. He just summarizes it nicely. This is what we've been hearing all weekend. But if you're using Josh Gordon as the defense of Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon wasn't there at the end last year. Josh Gordon didn't make it to the playoffs.
Nope.
Josh Gordon wasn't out on the field. And they ultimately proved they didn't even need Josh Gordon. That's what they proved at the end of the year. They proved they didn't even need the guy. Hey, thanks for the contributions in the season, but at the end, we don't even need you. We'll do it without you. We'll win the Super Bowl without you for the final five games. Is that what it was? He missed the final, all five of those wins?
He was there for 11. He went 8-3 with him, or 5-0 without him.
Yeah, 5-0. Yeah, we'll just win the last five without you on the team, and we'll just go win the Super Bowl. We don't need you there. So that doesn't really hold up. They have Rob Gronkowski. They don't have him anymore. I think they are in more need, and they need help this year. They do. They need help. I'm not saying that they don't need help this year. They do. Yeah. But does it need to be in the form of Antonio Brown? And in a year when you need a guy, if you do have to lose Antonio Brown along the way, then you have lost something. You've lost your money, and you've lost your chance to get another thing that you do need. Because Bill and Nick Caserio and whoever else is in on making this call, if it's Josh McDaniels, these guys obviously feel there's a significant need in this offense that they have been after Antonio Brown since March. They obviously feel there's a real need here.
And if they could get Brown, what'd they do? They use the number one, they use their first round pick to draft and kill Harry for outside help. He's down.
And that hasn't worked
looking
out.
Looking at it, Demaryius Thomas got nicked up. Maybe he could have this thing nagging him. They know in the back of their mind, we lived it. We gave Josh Gordon everything that he needed last year to wake up, get to the place, put your work in. We gave him everything. We held his hand, and he still left. So in the back of their mind, they still know that. God forbid something happens to Edelman. What do they have? This is why they're doing this. Like, Dorsett's there. He's a nice piece. Again, here we go. Not talking about Dorsett. From what I've been told, too, Brown looks pretty damn good. And they're not worried about him not picking up the offense or he's going to have a limited package. That's not the case. Every player is different.
Worried about him picking up the offense, I'm sure they'd tell everybody.
He's full go.
I'm sure they'd let everybody know that they're worried about
him. He's full go. Here's what you got to worry with Brown. This is what I'm going to watch down the road. Can Brown get through games?
If he was having issues this week, I'm sure they would be saying, yo, we're worried about him.
I honestly don't care what Bill says about the offense. I want to know what Tom feels about him knowing the offense, because that's the only thing that matters, is if he's going to actually throw him the ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what Bill thinks if he knows the offense. Right. It's a matter of if he knows the offense up to Brady's standards. Right?
I mean, obviously, Tom's excited, and he's going to try to get him the ball. Just listen to Tom's dad yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Staying with Tom now, right?
Looked like they were taking a picture at Tom's house last night.
Going over film.
That's what it looked like.
Sure, those beams weren't
some nice finish work there.
Yeah.
I don't know where they were, but that was nice finish work.
Man,
yeah. Tell you what, down the road here, weeks 5, 6, 7,
looks
8.
Looks like a home right off of Pinterest, doesn't it?
What you're going to have to watch is he going to be able to do what Sony Michel did the other night? And how's he going to be after those type of games? You know, 5, 6, 7, okay, if I'm there and all of a sudden I only get 3 targets. If I got three targets, why am I only getting three targets? Anybody hear Sony Michel bitching about the other night? No, because he knows it was going to be a Burkhead, James White type night. And there's going to be a game down the road. It's probably going to be next week here against the Jets. Or it could be down in Miami. If they look at this front and say, we could push him around, that's a Sony and Burkhead game. Or they could activate the Harris kid. He wasn't active this week. So they've got some depth there at the back position. But my point is, so Sony doesn't have the touches. You know, everybody's, Sony Michel this, Sony Michel that. He looks like a different back than he did last year. My excitement was to see him more. You didn't really see him the other night. And he's fine with it. Last year, James White would get shelved for three straight games. Wouldn't hear from him. Had to check to see if 28 was even active. But when it's money time, he's in at the end of the year. Can Antonio deal with that and accept that? Or does he have to have the eight targets, 10 targets, 20? You know, it's...
It remains to be seen.
Your role. Can he accept his role and understand that this offense adapts week to week?
But if it all falls apart, was there any risk involved?
Yes. Are
things blowing up?
There's risk. Money is risk.
Yeah, there's risk. Is there risk that there's a disruption to the daily, you know, work environment here in Foxborough? Not that it's going to derail the team. Let's not make it, you know, I heard the comparison to the Celtics yesterday. I think that's extreme. I think it's different when you have dealing with a group of starters that is made up of five guys. I think it's a little extreme. But could you disrupt the daily work environment in that locker room, in this building? Could you with that guy? Could you get sick of listening to that guy if you're a player here? Could you get sick of dealing with him? Could you envision?
Yeah, I did.
Have you seen some of the anonymous quotes coming out of Oakland this week?
No.
Some of the guys who said, we're so thankful he's gone, we just want to get back to football. Have you seen those quotes?
Put your name on it.
Because there are guys, no, because there are guys that don't want to deal with the distraction of now talking more about him. They want to move on. But there are guys that said, we're just happy he's gone, we want to get back to football. We want to get back to just doing what we want to do, which is doing their job. You know, the whole do your job thing. Yep. They're glad that it's over with. They're glad that the whole saga of Antonio Brown is over in Oakland so that they can focus on playing football games. That's what the Raiders were happy with. That's why we saw some of those quotes this week. They're happy it's over. Even though, obviously, his talent not being on the roster hurts their team. But there's risk involved. It's not a no-lose situation. You're pretending if you're saying that.
And people in Fidelity have risk managers. My buddy's a risk manager. There's reason there is risk when you are dealing with money. Yes, it is a risk, period.
But then you can't go out and add anything else at a position of need now that you've done this.
Right. You're all in on this player, is what you're saying.
Because they clearly believe that it's a position of need. And the Raiders did get a win last night over a bad Broncos team.
It looks like a deep position. It might not be deeper than you think. Based on everybody's little issue here or there.
617-779-0985, the phone number. We'll talk more about Antonio Brown. Bill Belichick just commented on it publicly for the first time and responded to the question from reporters today. He was asked what made him confident that Antonio Brown in coming to Foxborough would not be as disruptive here as he would be as he was in Oakland and Pittsburgh. Bill Belichick had an answer about that. He actually gave an answer. So we'll tell you what he said. We'll tell you what Bill Belichick said just minutes ago. That is coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
What's up? Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up? What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, as much as people talk about it, I mean, my God. I mean, I feel like someone's smashing my temple on the side of the head. Get over it, man. It's over. You know, we were good the preseason without him. You know, we're going to be fine without him. And we wish him the best. But, you know, we gave it a shot. And now New England gets their turn. Good luck to them. But I just can't deal with it anymore, really. Sorry.
Gruden didn't sugarcoat that last night. Feel like I'm getting smashed in the temple with this. Enough already. Enough.
Charles Caliendo.
Enough Antonio Brown. Now New England gets their shot with him. Good luck with that. You know, that's what Pittsburgh keeps saying, too. Not literally, but their fans. Their fans are all saying that. Yeah, good luck, New England.
Yeah.
Have at it. And, you know, that's a little bullcrap, too, because come on, Pittsburgh. You got a lot of good years out of him before he soured there.
Yeah.
You got a lot of production out of him before it went bad. But it did go bad. And it always will with this guy. It always will. And that was even true of Randy Moss. As great as he was.
But
he
said it was going to go
bad. It went bad in every spot he ever went.
Corey Dillon, same thing I said. At the end, Corey got a little disgruntled.
And speaking of Randy Moss, that is how Bill Belichick answered his question this morning from reporters when asked about what made him confident Antonio Brown wouldn't be as disruptive here as he'd been in Oakland or Pittsburgh. This tweet from Tommy Curran this morning. His answer, quote, "It's the same thing you guys said about Randy Moss when we brought him in." Bill is comparing it to Randy Moss. You know who's...
No, he's not comparing to Randy Moss. He's comparing you questioning it to people questioning Randy. See, this is where you got to be careful, too, because I think they're both different. Because Randy came from, you know, teams that actually had some success.
Well, he came from two terrible Oakland teams.
Well, he came from Oakland at the end when it was bad. But Randy knew how to win, and that's not to say that AB didn't know how to win. They're different players. And I just think...
Antonio Brown's coming from good teams. Randy Moss came from a bad
team. So we don't have to be careful about anything. Bill Belichick invoked the name Randy Moss. The reporters didn't say it. The reporters didn't say it. He's the one who brought him into the conversation.
Yeah.
So now he's got a comparison. Now Belichick just gave us a comparison. That's why he's careful with his words so he doesn't do this stuff.
Yes.
I'm shocked he did it. He never does this.
Kind of shows you that he knows it's going to work then. Ultimately here. Or else he doesn't name a player. He's really putting his ass on this. He's putting his ass on the line here. He is. There's no question about it. There is risk. You know, guy can't affect the locker room. But I think he really believes in his team. He really believes in his good veteran players to help, you know, create that culture there. I mean, it's worked with Gordon. It's worked here in past years with Moss. The quarterback's taking him under his wing right away here. So,
Teddy Bruschi would disagree with Bill Belichick on this. So those two guys currently disagree because Bill invokes Randy Moss. Teddy Bruschi on Sunday on ESPN said, "Do not compare this guy to Randy Moss." So we'll play that for you coming up. We played that on pregame on Sunday. He said that Sunday morning on ESPN. He was adamant that he does not want there to be a comparison to Randy Moss. Granted, he did say it with Randy Moss sitting there on the set with him on ESPN.
But
he did go out of his way because he said, "This is going to be a comparison. People will compare this to Randy Moss, and I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't." So we'll get to that coming up as well. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Chad, who's in the car today. Chad.
So I'm on with Zone the Beetle, man. I'm a Steelers fan. I say this every time. If you guys don't want me to, then I won't. But I've been living in New England for 20 years, so I have a lot of respect for the Patriots. And I watched that game the other night. And so what were you saying? Like, this is why every other team in the league is stupid when they went for the 3 points. Yes. On the 1 yard line?
Yes.
My God, that was painful.
Them doing that?
Both. Watching them. But I mean, eventually it's an inferior team. They could, I made a bet with Murray.
That team's going to be there in the end.
What's that?
That team will be there in the end. They'll figure it out.
Well, they'll probably make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about with you guys is Antonio Brown. That's what I was talking about with this call screener. I think, personally, this is my opinion for whatever it's worth. I don't think he's going to be an issue in New England. I think, like you guys just said, maybe Belichick knows. That's why he would make a comparison to Moss. But I think he wanted out of Pittsburgh at the end, and he got that social media expert from what they're talking about, rumors. He had a social media expert helping him to craft all this stuff with the blonde mustache and, you know, the fur coat, and wanted out of Oakland the same way. I think this is like the premier destination for players in the league. If you want to win a Super Bowl, there's no better place to be. I think he's going to keep it in line. I think he's going to be fine for you guys.
Yeah, but we know that's not what he's motivated by. He's not motivated by Super Bowls. That's not what he likes. If he were motivated by winning the Super Bowl, he'd be out on the field trying to get to the playoffs last year. That's what he would be doing. He's motivated by money.
He put out a cartoon the other day,
which is fine. There's nothing
here of him sitting in a pile of money in a Patriots hat.
Yeah, did he put himself with a bunch of Super Bowl trophies around him or a pile of money in the cartoon? What was it? What was in the cartoon? Did he say
money?
We're about to win. We're going to New England.
He said business is booming.
We're going to the home of champions or business is booming. No,
business is booming.
He put himself in a pile of money. That's what he's about, which is fine. Which is why this might work out. Because it's his opportunity to come in and prove that he can be a really productive guy and really important player on a good team that does win, that does go all the way. And that's where he can go back out into the market and next March get an even bigger contract from another team and cash in a huge way. That's what it comes down to, right? Mm. And it will be sold and packaged as, oh, look, he straightened out in New England. You know, he's a better player now. He's more focused now.
Look at that.
That's how it will be spun.
Booming.
For Antonio Brown. Business is booming.
Well, he got 84 then, because everything he's putting up there is 84. So that thing's been done.
Sitting in a pile of money. That's what he's about. He's about the money. So maybe the money is the carrot that is dangling there
carrot.
For Antonio Brown. Carrot. The carrot that is dangling for the rest of this season for him. The money that'll be waiting in free agency if it all goes well. And he's running out of opportunities to sort of cash in and get one of those big guaranteed deals like the one that he got in Oakland. But it didn't end up working out. And once his money was gone in Oakland, he had to get the hell out of there. He was not going to stick around in Oakland if he wasn't going to get his guaranteed money. Goodbye. And that was part of the issue in Pittsburgh. His guarantees had run out. Not only did his guarantees run out, but Juju Smith-Schuster won team MVP. And those two things combined, that's it. Shut it down. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to play anymore. I want to quit. It's not a guy who's about winning and about Super Bowls. It's a guy who's about himself and his money.
Bottom line, this game's going to do a massive number this week. We have Dan Fouts and Ian Eagles. So you get those guys again. So 1 o'clock.
Can I be honest with you?
This game's going to do a number. I'm telling you.
1 o'clock on a Saturday, Sunday in September when the weather's good and it's Miami who sucks. I don't think it's going to do a massive number. I think it'll do okay. It'll do a good number. Like
I think Patriots. It'll do a big number for 1 o'clock.
Right? The Patriots always do a good number, but I don't think it's going to do some sort of crazy number.
I'd go out of my way to watch him in his first game here. I could see him feeding him in this game.
617-779-0985. We're going to hear from Teddy Bruschi coming up on the other side, what he had to say about the comparison to Randy Moss. Bill Belichick brought up Randy Moss's name this morning. He compared Antonio Brown to Randy Moss. He said, this is what you guys did. You said all the same things about Randy Moss, and we got Randy Moss. We made the trade for him. You're saying the same things now about Antonio Brown. What did Teddy Bruschi say about that preemptively on Sunday? You'll hear it next. We'll get to more of your calls right after these headlines with Hardy.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at ApexEntertainment.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stop all the Randy Moss comparisons, okay? Because it's different. Because I played with this guy when he came in. We had conversations when he came in. And it was all about winning football games. That's what it was about. That's what Randy wanted to experience. We experienced that. We didn't finish the job in the Super Bowl. We didn't get it done. But still, it was about winning football games. Antonio Brown is different. Based on all of his activity in the last year, it's all about himself. It's selfish. That's the opinion I have of his behavior up until this point. So he basically, by being signed by the Patriots, everything is important there. Okay. Walkthroughs, meetings, practices, meetings after practice. Everything is important. Saturday walkthrough. You got to be there. You got to be present. He has to change. Is that possible? Can he change and be someone that can be reliable on a team that needs him?
what we have right there is a disagreement between Teddy Bruschi and Bill Belichick. That's what we have. The head coach of the Patriots and a former star player on the Patriots in Teddy Bruschi. A disagreement when it comes to Antonio Brown. Teddy Bruschi says, do not compare this man to Randy Moss. Bill Belichick says, compare him to Randy Moss. Not exactly like that, but said this morning on a conference call, well, you guys compare him to, he said all these same things about Randy Moss, and we brought Randy Moss here. That was his way of answering the question about why do you have confidence that he won't be disruptive the way he was.
And Bill wipes the slate clean for players. That past stuff doesn't stick with Bill. They did it with Terry Glenn. I remember that. And Terry had his issues. And Bill got here and said, hey, I'm wiping the slate clean. You get a fresh start. Ended up not working out. They shipped him out.
Do you think that Bill would cut Antonio Brown at the first sign of trouble?
I don't think he'd cut him at the first sign of
trouble. No, I don't think he would either.
He'd deactivate him.
Okay. But he's not going to cut him and ship him out the door at the first sign of trouble. I think that's sort of being played up, too.
Depends on the severity of the trouble, though. Yeah, it depends on the grade.
True. But I'll kick him right out the door. He always does that. Well, sort of. 2009, he was dealing with a bunch of a-holes in the room. He didn't kick any of them out the door when it happened.
Find her ass.
You find them.
If he goes in and videotapes something without them knowing, that's a...
That's
an offense that's worthy of release.
I guarantee you that Bill had it out with Rosenhaus, like with all this stuff over. And Bill likes to play the game. Like I don't watch social media. I don't look at it. They freaking know everything. They know which Instagram's on, which Snapchat it is, which email. You name it.
Sure,
Bill's all over that stuff.
Well, someone who's as high profile as Antonio Brown, as soon as he does anything, it's
I guarantee Bill said, I'm not even going to talk to this player. We're not going to do this over the phone. Because he's not tape recording me. I'm going to speak with you, Drew, and you better make sure you get this bleep cleared out and understood before he walks in this building, the demands that I'm going to have on him, and to put all this stuff aside, which he hasn't. Now, I mean, Bill lets guys go on social media. Guys do it all the time. Just, you know, hey, Brady put stuff out. He's got film crews. Edelman, same thing. Van Noy's been starting to do it now. You got to allow him, I think, to do a little bit, and that's why you've seen some stuff from AB. Took a picture. Hey, coach, is it cool if I take a picture outside the building coming in, 6:58 in the morning? Show him coming in and working? Yeah, that's good. Post that. Don't post any videos inside our weight room. Nobody even seen it. Has even seen it. Like, there are rules here, and he's going to have to abide by all, pretty much all of them. I'd say most of them, but, you know. And I'm sure that locker room will police it, too. If they see him doing something, put it away.
Like, you know when Randy got shipped out? When Randy got traded?
Yeah.
When Randy was no longer really productive here.
Yeah.
That was when Randy
was standing on the sidelines of Miami. Remember, he's looking up, like almost crying.
Yeah.
This is it. And then Randy got to Minnesota.
Yeah, he had one target, 41-14 that game.
He got to Minnesota. He got, damn, I messed up.
It was also the same time they had Gronk and Hernandez coming into the offense, and it was like, oh, we have more weapons.
Yeah.
We don't need him anymore.
Yeah. And he had a game that year against the Jets that the Patriots lost in week two. They're on the road at the Jets. And that was he had a touchdown in that game. But he didn't have a great game. They tried to get the ball to him. They were trying to get him the ball, and he ended up with two catches in the game, including the touchdown. But he overall – didn't have a great game, and he had stopped being as big of a threat. He had stopped being as productive. That was when he got shipped out, and his career after that point was never the same. He was done, and they knew it. That's why they traded him out. I mean, he had become a bit of a headache behind the scenes in 2009, did he not?
Yeah.
And they didn't move on from him then, and he had all the other guys that were sort of headaches in 2009, Sean Springs and Adalys Thomas, and the team was going south there, man. That was the, I can't get these guys to play the way they need to play. Or, I'm paraphrasing. On the sideline, talking to Brady. Mm-hmm. Belichick talking to Brady, lamenting that just, I can't coach these guys. Like, this group is just not going to get it done because there were too many jerks in there. And they just weren't playing well enough. But when it came time to, like, oh, they'll just kick him out the door. They do it all the time. Well, yeah, when Randy wasn't productive anymore, then they were like, yeah, see you later, Randy. wasn't it? Randy Moss never got let go because he was a problem. He got let go because he wasn't productive. He wasn't good.
Well, he had that halftime blow up with Bill O'Brien in Miami. He was traded like the next day.
Yeah,
right?
No, I know. But it was, let's just say this. My point is this, Jim. Had he been the same Randy Moss of like 2 years before, he's not getting traded the next day. Because I think there had been some things that had happened along the way that when he was still Randy Moss, he wasn't getting traded. He wasn't they wouldn't even have entertained it. The only reason they did entertain it is because he wasn't productive anymore. That's why. That's why it was on the table. And so Antonio Brown is going to be plenty productive if he's playing. Who else? Who have they booted out the door when they were a problem that was of this caliber, this type of player? They'll cut any. That's like, I mean, they'll cut anybody. Who? Like,
the only guy
he sucked too at the end.
Yeah.
Who have they cut?
Oh,
that's
he had
been
a great Super Bowl. He had
like
a really
great
good Super
in
Bowl.
Their prime, great player who just was a headache. So they just said, "See you later."
They don't. You don't do that.
Who is it?
Those guys get second chances.
No, Deion Branch got traded, not cut.
He shot.
They get traded, but they don't get cut.
Yeah, that's not getting cut. That's not a disciplinary thing either. That's a trade. You trade a player.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a problem, they'll just boot you out of there.
Seymour got traded.
You keep hearing this the last. Yeah, getting Mankins traded.
Got traded.
A veteran player, big money contract. They traded. They acquired an asset. Yeah. You got a first round pick in that deal. Turned into Nate Solder.
It's a good pick.
Right, that's not.
Well, but who's been disruptive enough to be worthy of trading?
Who has been a problem
you
might be, to the
I
point?
I don't know,
that,
but I just keep hearing this.
Turn him up. Who is that?
I just keep hearing it. I heard Jeff Howe say it in that clip. Like, oh, they'll just boot anybody out. Well, who have they needed to move on from?
Turn Hardy up.
Like, Albert, we're going to count Albert Haynesworth? Like, these low-risk, no-risk type of things where they, you know, they're trying to salvage their careers?
I don't think there is an example that you can cite. You can't cite an example because nobody has proven themselves to be the type of problem that Antonio Brown was in Oakland or with Pittsburgh. So, yeah, there isn't a comparison. There isn't a comparison on pretty much any team with any player. I mean, to the level where he just... I mean, going through the timeline in Pittsburgh and him not... Just walking out of a practice and then showing up to play on Sunday and then essentially never playing again and then everything you did in Oakland. I mean, I dare you to find a comparable set of behaviors for anybody, much less a player of his caliber. It's unprecedented.
No, you're right. And so you know what? Maybe they are willing to cut anybody. I just don't think they've ever been in that spot, which is a testament to the team. Which is a testament to the Patriots.
Which is a point for Jeff Howe's argument that there's no risk because it's never happened before.
Is it?
We can't come up with an example.
How does that mean?
We can't come up with an example.
Well, how is that a predictor that Antonio Brown won't do the same thing here just because it's the Patriots? Like they sprinkle the magic fairy dust and that doesn't happen here? I don't know that they've brought on someone who's been as disruptive elsewhere like he has. I don't know that they've ever brought on a guy who is this disruptive. Who's a guy who's done something like him elsewhere before he's gotten here?
Revis?
What did he do?
Not just shot his way out. He was more of a mercenary with money.
He didn't do anything like Antonio Brown did.
But he played.
Moss is the example.
He's the closest thing, and he didn't do anything nearly as bad as Antonio Brown did.
Hardy?
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk again.
No.
I didn't hear you that first.
I didn't know because I can't see you. Sorry. It's awkward. Not
I just fault. I can't think of anybody who was, and it's testament to Antonio Brown, I guess, and his talent. Anybody who is as talented as he is, who has also proven to be such an issue for teams.
I've got the guy. It's LeGarrette Blount.
Ooh.
He wanted to get out. And you know what? Right. Martellus Bennett did the same thing with Green Bay.
Ooh, that's right. And it was Pittsburgh, too.
But those were supposed good guys in the locker room. They weren't malcontents. They were good guys. But they shot their way out of town somewhere to come back here.
Right.
They had already been here, though.
Yeah, no, there's some truth in that. Yeah.
And both won trophies here.
Well, no, Martellus Bennett didn't win a trophy when he came back. He won it before he left.
Yeah. But, I mean, there were issues with him in the league where he ran his mouth. I remember him on Hard Knocks with the Cowboys. They had a tough time getting him going. Dave Campo was the head coach at the time. That was the Amendola years down there. Yeah, those are pretty good examples. Blount's probably the best.
He just didn't show up, right? He just didn't show up to practice, or he didn't show up to the game, or he left early. Or
he walked off the field.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He walked off the field with like 30 seconds left in the game. He went to the locker room early.
I'm done.
Yeah. He wanted to get out of Pittsburgh, and they cut him. And he went back to New England.
Which to me is still a far cry from walking out of a practice, not showing up for 2 days, and then showing up in the locker room on Sunday saying, hey, I'm ready to play.
Didn't James Harrison ever?
But if Antonio Brown could have just walked off the field with a minute and a half left and been released, I think he would have done that. He would have done whatever it took to get out of there. And if it was minimal, he would have done the minimum. It took a lot for him to get out of that. Right?
Yeah, but it's that back and forth. It's that inconsistent factor where you don't know what you're dealing with. I mean, yeah, he obviously wanted out, but then why is he showing up and trying to play on Sunday?
I wasn't even going to mention this, but I've gotten like 3 emails in the last minute on this. Aaron Hernandez. That's what it's taken.
Yeah.
It's taken someone murdering somebody. I didn't even think it was really relevant to the conversation. I mean, that's like a completely different.
It didn't blow him up. They went 1 year. They won the Super Bowl the year after.
No, but I'm talking about you being forced to cut a guy. Like, you'll cut a guy for an issue.
Yeah.
And I was talking just about, you know, football matters, but no. For that, yeah, no.
Non-legal stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about legal issues and off the field, you know, criminal issues that rise above.
Invoking Aaron Hernandez in pretty much any conversation is like invoking Hitler. It's like, we have nowhere to go from there.
Yeah, let's not go nuclear on the conversation.
Yeah.
All right? I hear you. Yeah, no, you're right. They did cut Aaron Hernandez. No doubt about it. they said, see you later, Aaron Hernandez.
It's a great way to end any conversation. You know,
hey, give them credit. They cut Aaron Hernandez. No, I don't think I need to do that. No, we're all.
They've had problem players before. Aaron Hernandez. Okay, that's just,
if we need to give them credit for gutting Aaron Hernandez, we've gone down a weird road, and I don't want to go down that road. 617-779-0985. All right, let's have a laugh. Let's get to Tom Brady with Jim Gray last night.
Good.
This should be fun.
I haven't heard it yet.
All right, we'll do it next.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with 2 full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Tom, have you invited Antonio to stay at your house, and will he do that?
You know, I've asked a lot of guys over the years to stay at my house, and some have taken me up on it, and others haven't, and, you know, I just want this transition for him to be really smooth, and it's been a lot of travel to go from the West Coast to the East Coast, and, you know, again, learning the playbook, so I just want him to be comfortable. Whatever's up to him, I'm totally cool with.
Invited a lot of guys to stay over. You think that's true, Artie?
Name one.
I think she does with the guests.
Wouldn't you like him to go all Katie Couric on Sarah Palin there? I read all the magazines. Really? Which ones?
Oh, you know.
You invited a lot of guys to stay over at the house? Really? Which ones? Which guys? Give me names.
Well, my son had a sleepover. He invited some guys over for that.
Which players, Tom?
I love the Chicago Cubs. Oh, which ones?
Which? Yes. Really? Who's your favorite player? I want to hear some names.
All of them.
Love
all the players.
I love all the players. Was it the White Sox? I think it was the White Sox.
I thought it was the Cubs, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was the White
Sox. It was the White Sox.
I think it was the White Sox.
You're right.
Yeah. Who are your favorite White Sox players? I love all of them. Go baseball.
Sports.
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 Yes. Okay. What else do we have, Hardy, from Jim Gray last night with our man Tom Brady?
Well, you know, that was, I guess, presumably after they had spoken, you know, the invite to stay there at the house. But this is just on the acquisition and meeting with Antonio Brown.
So, Tom, the NFL kicked off their 100th season, but the man who dominated all of the talk over the weekend in every social platform and broadcast was Antonio Brown, your new teammate. He was in the building today. Have you met with Antonio, and how did it go?
Yeah, you know, we're going to meet as much as we possibly can. I think the quarterback-receiver relationship is so important. The more you know each other, the more you know what each other are thinking, the faster you can accelerate the trust and confidence in one another when you get on the field. And I have that with a lot of guys that I've played with, certainly guys that are on the roster now, Julian, Philip Dorsett, Josh, you saw that last night. But when you haven't played with guys, you've got to try to do it as quickly as possible. And the clock is ticking on us right now. This is not the off-season program. This is about real games that count, and we're going to try to spend as much time as we can together and really get up to speed and lock in with what our roles and responsibilities are.
Whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, that's a hollow, empty, useless quote.
I mean, he asked me, have you met with him?
Yeah, you know, we're going to meet as much as we possibly can.
I don't know if he's at that point when he spoke with Jim Gray, and I don't know when this is recorded. It still sounds edited. I don't know. And this, I mean, this is,
they say it's like right. It's
no,
it's then, man.
That's I've not. To that's not. This, listen, okay. Unless we edited it further, Tom says no. We have not edited that. I mean, just listen.
Yeah, you know, we're going to meet as much as we possibly can. I think that quarterback-receiver relationship is so important. The more you know each other, the more you know what each other are thinking, the faster you can accelerate the trust and confidence in one another when you get on the field. And I mean,
it just sounds like a couple of sentences slammed together. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I just, you would think that on a radio broadcast of a football game, when you've got Tom Brady on, you could actually talk a little bit about the football, but whatever. It doesn't matter. It did, at that point, it sounds like maybe he hadn't met with Antonio Brown yet. So,
I'm with you on that. Possible.
Yes.
Or else if he did it, he wanted it out there.
You got one more?
I do. This is Jim Gray asking about Tom and maybe some special treatment.
Tom, do you treat guys differently based on who they are and what they can do, or do you treat everyone the same?
What do you think he's going to say?
Well, no, I treat everybody the same.
Jim, I like to treat everybody.
Oh, no, there's special treatment.
I like to treat them the way I wanted to be treated.
Oh, no, I definitely show some guys special treatment.
Jim. Based on who they are and what they can do, or do you treat everyone the same?
I don't think anyone ever gets treated the same. I think everyone has unique things that motivate them. And ultimately, we're all trying to be the best player that we can possibly be for the team, and then collectively how the individuals perform reflects in how the wins and losses. So the better we are individually, if we can all come together, the better we are collectively.
Oh my God, that's what the goal
of the football season is. And over the course of the season, we're going to lose players, we're going to add players. You know, that's kind of been really a trademark of our team over the years, is adding essential players that critical times. We're going into the season. It's a long, tough, arduous season, and we're going to need as many good football players as we can in order to compete.
Yes, it's important.
At the very highest level.
Come on.
It's too bad Brady doesn't get to let anyone know him, because I think people would love him. Really. It's too bad. Really is.
You know, this is all.
Why you get such a problem?
Why is the problem with that question? Yeah. They're going to baby him. Yes. Oh, no, we're going to treat him differently.
Me? Yeah.
Oh, it's just such a, like, nothing answer.
It's,
he just says nothing, ever.
He just said they're going to treat him differently.
No, he didn't. He said everyone's unique, so it's about uniqueness.
Yes, everyone has different motivations.
He is the unicorn walking through the building.
Everyone has different motivations.
He's
not going to be treated like Gunnar Olszewski.
Ultimately, we're all trying to be the best player that we can possibly be for the team, and then collectively how the individuals
this gets into economic theory. Adam Smith, his equilibrium theory. John Nash worked on this a little bit at Princeton, I believe. At least that's what I saw in the movie. Yep. What's good for the individual and the group?
Good question.
That's good stuff.
Where's his locker? They made a big deal of whose lockers where, right? It's Ben Watson next
some
to Brady, right?
Some people make a big deal of it. I don't know.
Well, Reese will be in there. He'll have to change his pants after he sees it.
Jim's right, though. They did say that.
And what they can do, or do you treat everyone the same?
I don't think anyone ever gets treated the same. I think everyone has unique things that motivate them. And
yeah, I'm surprised at that answer, actually.
But that he's asking about, do you treat everybody the same on the field?
Right.
Or do you treat, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I was asked if he treats the teammates the same.
Oh, boy.
Right?
He's asked if he treats the guys differently.
As a football player, as a receiver, do you treat everybody the same? The answer to that is no.
Tom, do you treat guys differently based on who they are?
I'd be quick to write off Jacoby Myers because he's Jacoby Myers, but I'll give you Antonio Brown a million chances, which is, I don't even find anything wrong with
it. You didn't think he was.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at Apex Entertainment.com.